thanks you very. The Father, you sing it unto him now and think about him. Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living. We sanctuary, before you. Amen and amen. To be a sanctuary for the Lord. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Glad to have our visitor back there with us. And we always say to you, when you come one time, you're a visitor. You come two times, you're part of us. So we just say welcome to you. And it's not Roger. I got him over in the corner this time. I can see him. But he got messed up the other day and moved over. And I welcomed him as a visitor, because I'd never seen him in the light that shines over in the middle. But, amen. Just remember, pray one for another. Pray that the Lord would be with us, the Lord willing. I'll be leaving Thursday morning to be in Jamaica and through the weekend speaking for them there, and be back, the Lord willing, on Tuesday. So remember that. Then just have a good memorial time. Of course, according to Brother Dick, it's not supposed to be this time of the year, but, you know, I told him, the government, they didn't ask him. They just went ahead and changed it and made it on the 26th, but Brother Reed and them, they have their memorial is on Friday. See? So that's a special day for them of this coming Friday, and that's what he wanted me to be there to speak in a place called, and I've never been to, I've been by it, but never been there to speak in, Northampton. So, you know, the Lord willing, we'll be there with them, so just remember that. Pray that the Lord would bless us as far as the building. We've got through everything. On everything now is turned over to the inspector, and he's wanting to know something about the wiring. So, you know, just pray that everything will be passed and all on that, and we can get everything in order to where we can begin the little building on and everything else. We had a wonderful time yesterday in the fellowship meeting, and Brother Burley done a real good job speaking for us there, and we really, really appreciated it. It was a good message, and I really enjoyed it. You know, so just pray that the Lord would bless. Remember, Wade will be speaking next weekend for us here. And just also now we're planning on trying to go to Oklahoma over the 4th of July weekend. Now, that doesn't mean we're all going to ride together. We're planning on going. So, you know, we'll do the best we can to all ride together and everything else. But I'm just saying we're planning on trying to take a trip to Oklahoma to be there on the 4th of July weekend and all. But, you know, so just let us know if you want to try to go, and maybe we can all pile in and go together, but whatever works out, we'll work it out. You know, but just pray that the Lord would bless. All right? If you'd like, turn.
They said they would put the people up, so don't worry about it. We don't have to worry about
it. They said they would put up the people there, the church people would put up the people that would come, so you wouldn't have to worry about a motel and everything else. So we appreciate that. Amen. Appreciate Brother Claude and them. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn to 2 Peter 1, where we've been reading from, and then 2 Peter, or 1 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, 1 Peter 1. You know. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for the hour that we're living upon the earth, the time that we have, Father, and we pray that you would just come and be with us and speak to our hearts as to what you would have to be said to your people, because we wait upon you. And Lord, just forgive our sins and direct us in your understanding, that we may walk in the light of your love, and teach us to wait upon you. Because in waiting, then we come to the place of patience, to wait upon you, to the things that you would desire to be made manifest among us can take place. We believe in this hour that we're in the last days. The time is upon the earth. We don't look and talk about what day or what how long, but yet we realize we're in the end time. And being in the end time, we know that there is certain scriptures and things to be made manifest in the time that we're living here. So just bless and guide each one of us. You promised it. So then if you promised it, we can wait upon your promise. And in doing that, Lord, we commit everything to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll go to 2 Peter 1, and we'll read the first five verses. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now remember, this is not written to the world. This is written to those that are in Christ Jesus, you know, those that are born again. All right. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, what? By these promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Amen. So let's drop back now into 1 Peter, because it's where we're going to try to get to. 1 Peter 1, we'll go to about verse 18 through 23. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or conduct, manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying, now this, so you see who that's talking to. Not talking to the world. See, the Bible's not written to the world. The only thing that the world can do is read the Bible and realize they're lost.
Right. Right.
A sinner can't read the Bible and see what God is talking about.
Right.
He can't not see the kingdom, right? He can't understand the kingdom, all right? Seeing ye have, see, something that's happened to you, purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, and that means white hot.
Right.
Now, white hot is what that unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. What now? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible.
Right.
Now there's only one incorruptible seed.
Right.
All seed of life
right.
is corrupted.
Right.
No matter what you think or the best you think of yourself, you're corrupted.
Right.
There's only one incorruptible seed, and what is that?
Right.
The next one says, by the word of God. The word of God is the only uncorruptible or incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we've been speaking on the part where it was requested that we talk about, and I have some more turned in for the topics and things to get on one of these days, and we'll just move as we can and go through it. But we've been talking about the stature of a perfect man. The stature of a perfect man is a growth development in God, and we'll get to that this afternoon more. But I'm still wanting to try to stay with the point of the new birth. The new birth. But we'll be going in this morning into the basis of talking about it and just put the title. This is message number 4 that we've been on. But put the title of being born again. Something taking place. See? Alright. Now as I said, and we'll get more on this evening, I want to hold it to a point to where we can understand. The Bible, as I said a moment ago, is not written to the world. It is only written to those that are in Christ Jesus. And those that are in Christ Jesus, Peter said, them of like precious faith. Brother Branham, in the stature of a perfect man, I'd ask you to read the stature of a perfect man and blasphemous names or listen to those tapes, you know, to give a whole lot better understanding than what I can speak about. But on that, he says these virtues that we'll talk about later are not just thought about or need to be, but it's required in this day. In this day, it's a requirement. All right. Now, and to do that, you cannot start that. It's just like a baby. See? Sure, in the mother of the womb, the baby, the body grows. Sure, it has a life form that can wiggle and move about, but it has no soul. All right? It is not a living soul until it's born of the natural, and when the life comes in, then it's a living soul. Just like Adam, God breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. All right? So then when a baby is born, then life comes. And that's the way we are. If you go on down in Peter reading there in 1 Peter, I believe it is, that you'll find him talking about newborn babes, babes in Christ, desiring the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. See, and that's what we need. We're babies. You're not born full grown. Little Abby Grace now is beginning to walk, and you know, that's something. Because she's reached that stage of development that she can walk. All right? Now, she couldn't do that 3 months ago. Why? Because she was not in that stage to where she could do that. That's just plain language. And looking in the Bible, we're not born way up, you know, like a lot of people said, oh, we're born up here where the headstone is at of love. No, you're born again at faith. We've been trying to deal with that. See, and Peter says, those of like precious faith. Brother Branham, as I said a moment ago, he said, Peter said, I have this faith, and I'm speaking this to people who have this faith. All right? Now, see, when we're born, now, I want you to study this, and I'll repeat this afternoon, but I want you to study something for one time that you would think about something in a way that what I'm trying to get you to see. All right? Now, we talk about the crow with the peacock feathers. And that don't make it a peacock. Right? See? I mean, it's still a crow. Now, we understand that. That's the fact that you're not born again. And you claim you're born again. You say you're born again. But you're not born again. All right? So you're acting a hypocritical part to claim something that you're not. All right. Now we believe that. Okay. But now for one time, move up a step. Read the stature of a perfect man one time with this thought in mind. And I believe it will help you drastically. That if the Bible is written only to Christians, and we believe that. All right. And the prophet says that it, I gave you the quotes and the things where this is not to the world, this is to those that are in Christ Jesus. Well, for one time, think about a thought like this. In the stature of a perfect man, the prophet would be covered and he'd say, you say, you know, well, I'll just have these things. You know, if I need virtue, I'll just have virtue. See, like I said, a lot of people says we're born again. Said, we're born up here, you know. Well, that's not what the prophet said. He said we're born at faith. And we must grow up the stature of a perfect man to come out of that position. And that's where the trouble is. So now think about this for a moment. Think about a baby peacock that claims to have full-grown feathers. All right. Now what would that look like? What would a baby peacock look like if it was born and all at once is whammo, you know, peacock feathers, I mean, man, they're this long, you know. Well, what would a baby peacock, you know, laying there that's totally helpless, can't do anything hardly, just opens its mouth, but yet it's got great big old long feathers on it. You'd know there's something wrong. Now read the stature of a perfect man like that. And listen to the prophet when he's talking about the crow with the peacock feathers. But get in with it and listen to him and you'll see that he's talking about that Christians who think they have something when they don't have it. Now that's a peacock, baby peacock with big old long feathers. So now that won't fit no more than it would to be a buzzard with peacock feathers. The only difference is you are born again. But see, to claim something is one thing. For God to make that manifest is another thing. All right, now, we've got to confess it. Amen. We have to confess. But we confess what He says. We confess where He says we are. It doesn't do any good to confess somewhere past where He says you are. All right. So now think of the stature of a perfect man on that basis. And study it, and you'll get a whole lot better understanding about the message of what the prophet's trying to get us to see. Because he's trying to explain to us that we're born again at faith. Do we have the same like precious faith that Peter had? Because all born again believers are born again by faith. We went through that, showing you over and over. And you can only be born again by faith. Now you're not born again just because you say you have it. That's what I was trying to get across Wednesday night. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father draw him. Right? All right. Now, that's why the prophet was against people making altar calls, not against the altar calls because he made them, but people making altar calls to try to scare people into coming to the altar or going down in the audience and getting them and bringing them to the altar. You know, he was against those things. Because he said you'll make it to where it'd be harder for them to come to the Lord the next time. See, you've embarrassed them. You put it in a position. Don't worry about it. Let God do the calling. All right. Let him do the calling. If he does the calling, then things will work. But if he doesn't do the calling, you can go through the things and it looks just like you're born again, just like everybody else. But it won't work. So follow the lineup now. The lineup is to what? First, you must be born again. Now, that's not to just say, I am born again. That's not it. You must confess that. Amen. But then God must do something. You remember the story that the prophet gave of the Baptist people when they asked him what did they have, the big professor thing, you know. He said, potentially you've got the new birth. He said, like a field of corn where it's just grown up. He said, potentially. And the man said, well, Abraham believed God. And that's all we can do. He said, you're right, as far as you've went. He said, but God done something to Abraham. Now God gave Abraham the sign of circumcision. God done something. Now the new birth is of the Lord. It's not you, it's of the Lord. Jonah 2 and 9, I believe, said it. Salvation's of the Lord. All right. See, now, I, as one believe you must have the new birth. You must be born again. Amen. And to be born again in this age requires that you come through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. Now, in Luther's age, justification was enough to put him into the body. All right. But that will not do it today. Now the requirements has come to where that we're coming back to where that you can complete the birth. But in a natural birth, what do you have? Water, blood, life, you know. All right. So you got to go, in this age is the age to where the new birth, and that started on Azusa Street, contrary to most people. On Azusa Street, that was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right, 464 seal book, if you want it. justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and said, and the Holy Ghost came himself in the person of the baptism, 125 and 464. He said, bringing a birth. That was the new birth on Azusa Street, 1906. All right. But it wasn't the completion. That's where they went wrong. Why the prophet preached messages like where Pentecost failed. Because they thought they had everything. They thought that was the great going away. That's where people like Brother Lee Vail and them was in a form called the Latter Rain style. And you know, that was, man, that was it. The gifts was there and everything was done. But it wasn't. Why? Because the former rain hadn't come yet. The prophet hadn't come with a message. All right. But he didn't say they weren't born again. They were. And they received the birth there. But they had to go through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost to have that new birth. And I, as a believer and as a minister of the gospel, I try my best to preach to you what I believe, and it's because of what I've experienced. All right? I believe in a definite experience of justification.
Amen.
So now listen to what I'm saying. Some of you say, well, I've never done this. Well, all right then. I'm not saying you're lost. I'm saying you talk to God about it. Because I can't tell you you're lost anyway. But you talk to God about it. Let's see what He says about it. All right. But see, I believe in a definite experience of a happening of justification. A definite experience of sanctification. And a definite experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues and shouting and crying or whatever you would want to call the evidence. No, the evidence is when the baby gets here. The baby comes. They spank it or whatever they have to do. Life enters the baby. The baby cries. All right. The crying's not the birth. The baby got here. That's the birth. A life coming in it. That's the birth. So that way everybody had the same new birth. That's where the prophet said, you're so wrong teaching that you must speak in tongues. He said, because that would put it on one thing, see.
Right.
But see, now they say, you must believe Brother Brown was a prophet. Well, then Luther couldn't come up with that stage. Right? Wesley couldn't come up with it. Azusa Street couldn't come up with that form of experience.
Right.
So it's not that, then the prophet said. The evidence is whether or not the Spirit in you agrees with the Word.
Right.
Now the Spirit in Luther agreed with the Word.
Right.
The Spirit in Wesley agreed with the Word.
Right.
The Spirit on Azusa Street agreed with the Word. That was the restoration of the gifts.
Right.
The person of the baptism coming. Right. See, now to believe the message of the hour is the evidence there's something in you that agrees with the Word. See, now you've got it in order. But see, they're saying now just, oh, Brother Branham changed this, Brother Branham changed that. But all I want is a quote where he changed it. And like Brother Burley said last night when that man told him something it was happening, he said, all I want is one quote. He said, well, you know I got a dozen. He said, well, just give me one. Man's stumbling around. I can't think of one. But he said he had a dozen, see. He said, just give me one. See? Just give me one quote from Brother Branham that will back up all of these doctrines that people come up with. But let's see that quote slide right back into the rest of the Bible where it can't be contrary. Because remember one thing. This is the key that's always helped me to understand the ages and the times and things. A prophet must line up his message with every prophet previous to him. That's the only way he can know he's right. He just don't run out on his own. He has to find the rest to see, and it will perfectly fit. Why? Because God can't tell one person one thing and another person something different. That's where people say, oh, that's just your way of believing it. If I say what the Bible says, you ain't got no right whatsoever to say that's the way you believe it. Because you're doubting whether what that says is true or not. But you see, the Bible is written so perfect until it applies to each age. Now that's the basis for what we'll get to in just a minute now. I keep saying that over and over. The Bible is written to where that it can speak to each age and be to that age, but yet can speak to the next age and bring it up into a higher level. The next age and bring it into a higher level. Because that's what all the prophets done. Go back and read Joel and the different ones. Especially read Ezekiel or some of those, or Daniel. And watch those visions that say Daniel would have. And then he'd have another vision. And then he'd have another vision. And another vision. See, you're just looking at, well, he had a vision of this. And he had a vision of that. He had a vision of that. Now he had a vision that each one of those visions had to come together and mold the image and make it to where that he could receive the understanding and finality of what it was. Why? Because we believe in progressive revelation. God told Abraham, said, you're going to have a child. He got it all messed up trying with Hagar and things, right? But see, God didn't tell him it'd come through Hagar, but God never told him to start with it's going to come through Sarah. Come on. Read your Bible. He didn't tell him to start with. He finally told him that he would have it from Sarah. That settled it. Abraham before then was just saying, I'm going to have a child. He said, now I know who the mama's going to be. That was just more understanding. And that's all that I believe has happened. That way it'll tie together the ages. That each age would be a foundation for the next. See? Alright? And see, being a foundation, we come out to the finality. So the new birth in this age is the birth of the Word. Because the new birth in Luther's age was the birth of the Word. The new birth on the day of Pentecost was the birth of the Word. The Word they had heard. Alright? See, then that brings it down to where the new birth is the most important thing that there is to you. Because if you're not born again, you're not in the kingdom and cannot understand. Yeah. And I don't mean this wrong, I'm just playing now. So I say, you talk to God about your situation. But that's why people can't understand me when I preach. Because I try to preach by revelation, and they try to listen by intellect. And call me the intellectual. I try to preach by revelation, and they interpret by intellect. No, that won't work. It's got to be revealed. The prophet said, and I was looking yesterday at some things, he said, would you believe he said it like this? He said, all these things that they do, like their creeds and things, he said, that's all right. Something to that degree. He said, that's fine. He said, that's good. He said, it makes good people. I mean, you say, well, we're totally against all these creeds. And amen, we know that. But he said, there's nothing wrong with that. He said, the only problem is, he said, they don't go on and receive the person of Jesus Christ. He said, then let that be what it would be. You know, I mean, I never did understand what it means by I can't get it together and go in the right direction and that the Catholics do the crosses. I don't see anything wrong with that except one thing. They're talking about the wrong person. Yeah. Right? If they're talking about God, Almighty, the great Elohim, self-existent, you can make all the signs you want to. We have one somewhere. I think it's down here. The Catholics don't have no option. The prophet said on the cross. Yet a lot of people won't put up a cross in their church. Well, why not? But a lot of people won't have songbooks in their church got anything in the blood about it. All right? But you see, church, what I'm trying to get me and you to see is that we must first be born again. Just as a natural baby must first be born into the world. Then that baby can start growing. Right? And that's what Nicodemus, the greatest of all, couldn't comprehend. Because he was trying to comprehend what Jesus said by natural intellect. And Jesus said, you must be born again. All he could do was, you mean I've got to go back to my mother? He knew there was a connection to that. Now watch, Jesus didn't say heavenly. He said, if I speak to you and you don't understand earthly, read your Bible. He didn't first say, you don't understand heavenly things. He said, if I can't speak to you and you understand earthly things. In other words, you know for a certainty that I'm typing this. You know that I'm showing you what a natural baby comes into the world. Right? He said, if you can't understand earthly things, how can I speak to you of heavenly things? See, we want to turn that around. Naturally, Nicodemus knew for a certainty Jesus was saying something. Right? And he could comprehend the natural birth. And he knew life began that way. And being who he was, he knew that that would be the way into a kingdom that Jesus was speaking of. But he couldn't get the revelation. We make fun of him because he doesn't. But you know, Peter and them didn't get it either. And they spent 3.5 years listening to him. They didn't get it till the day of Pentecost. Then on the day of Pentecost, they knew then what Jesus had been speaking for 3.5 years. Now, I don't mean all of it at one time, because the Bible says they learned, you know, it brought to their remembrance whatsoever I said. But on the day of Pentecost, they knew what Jesus was talking about, because they experienced a new birth. Have you had the experience of the new birth? But Brother Dale, I just come in the message. Well, now you know better than that. You want me to, ain't no need of saying it, but if you want to start calling names, you can call a lot of names. If you know that come in the message because they believe Brother Round is a prophet, but where are they today? All right? So that would be a flimsy excuse to use to say, I know where I'm at because I believe the message. I know where I'm at because the message has been made alive to me. That's my way of saying it. The prophet talked about a new birth. He wasn't talking about a birth to just come into a doctrine or an idea or a concept. He was talking about the person of Jesus Christ coming and living in you. To change you. To give you a new birth. Then you don't have to worry about everything else. It'll take care of itself. That's why I don't preach like everybody else does, beating everybody over the head. Because it won't bring you to God. The Bible says the goodness of God is what brings us to a repentance. That's the scripture. And God calls and we must follow what he says. All right. Now, just keep that in mind then. But you say, Brother Dale, I've accepted Jesus Christ. I've accepted Jesus Christ. But has he accepted you? Well, I've done all I can do. I agree with you. It's what the prophet said to the Baptist preacher. I agree with you. You've done all you can do. But just stay right there until he accepts you. It may take 2 seconds or it may take 20 years. Just stay right there. Just keep right on believing. Until it comes. It was 2 years for me. I don't know how long it'd be for you. Well, I just got it all at once when I believe. Well, that's a good Baptist doctrine. But I hope you did. And I believe people can. But remember, you first got to have a foundation laid in the Word. It took 3.5 years for them people to get to a place that the Holy Ghost could be given unto them. All right, but now the next time it happened, It was only just a one message by Peter. All right. One message by Peter on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 came. But like I told you the other day, every one of them must have been called because it says 3,000. It wasn't 3,101, or it wasn't 2,999. It said 3,000. So it meant exactly what it was. Because that was what was called of God. Alright, but I gave you quotes from the prophet where, like on God's provided way, 1953, where he says, has he accepted you? Has he accepted you? God's covenant with Abraham, 1956. You never called God. God called you. You never sought God. See, we all thought that. But it was God in the garden calling for Adam. Adam, where art thou? It wasn't Adam. He was tickled to death with his wife's religion. Right? Because she figured out where they needed some fig leaves. Huh? You already heard Brother Burley on those things last night. Now, I'm not against what Eve done, because that's what we've everyone done. We try to work out some form of a covering between us and God. Something I can do, or something I hadn't done, or maybe I could do it, or I could do this, or I could do that. No, just don't worry about it. Just depend upon the atonement that was made. That's all I can do, because I know my goodness is worth nothing. You see, Brother Brown said, you never called God. God called you. Right. He gets on law having a shadow, 1956. He said he accepted you were. Where was you accepted at, Brother Gary? Well, I on the Alabama road down through there, coming on I-20, and there's a rest area there on I-20. I know where he told me about it. And that was the day he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he called me on the telephone. Told me he had. Well, you say, well, God accepted me on that run. No, he didn't accept you there, Brother Gary. Because no man is worthy of being accepted. The Bible says we're accepted in Christ Jesus. And that's what your prophet used it right there and said it. Read it. Accepted with Christ. When he was accepted, I was accepted. If I'll believe it. But now if I don't believe it, then I'm looking for him to do something. I'm waiting on him to do something to save me. I'm wanting him to get back up on the cross or do something. No, I don't believe it that way. I was accepted in Christ Jesus. There's no such thing as accepting him today. I was accepted in Christ Jesus. Today may be the day that I come to the realization that I'm accepted. But I was accepted in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. When the Bible said he stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, that's where you was accepted at. You're not accepted because you're good and because of this or that or the other. You're accepted in Christ Jesus. But just remember now, all that the Father hath called. But remember also, many are called, but a few are chosen. See, make your calling, the Bible said, an election sure. Now, Brother Gary, God accepted you before the foundation of the world, right? But he transferred that down 2,000 years ago in Jesus Christ, because that was where you were at in Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not by natural genetics or any form. In that eternal life that he had, because that's what come to you with a new birth, right? All right. Now, then there was a time that you, the prophet said, drive down a stake. Drive it down and tell that devil, right here. Right here. This day. Alright. See, then there was a time happened when Brother Gary, something happened to him, and he said, that's it. See, he knew he had been accepted. There had to be a time. See, just like Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But if he hadn't come and died, that would have been false prophecy. Come on. He had to come and die to fulfill that scripture. Or that scripture would have been false prophecy. So, oh, I always was eternal. I always was eternal. I believe what the prophet said, always was eternal. Well, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?
Right.
And Brother Branham taught it that we are eternal by the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And that's when he accepts you, going to future home.
Right.
Page 39, future home, 1964, what does he talk about? Said it accepted you, what? The attribute. Now, if you was an attribute in God before the foundation of the world, and I only know three attributes that God has. You say, well, he's got this and got that. No, just get back simple to what the prophet says, and you can keep it simple. There's only three attributes of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Right.
Healing comes this way, salvation comes this way, birth comes this way. But he only has three attributes.
Right.
All right? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So we had to be in one of those attributes. And I don't believe in three attributes like three separate people, do you? I believe those three attributes makes one attribute. Almighty God. Elohim, self-existing, eternal.
Right.
Now, then in doing that, it accepted you. That attribute then come to the place to where that it caught up with you. And you had to receive it. The new birth is not just believing the doctrine. The new birth is the person of Jesus Christ coming and living in you. Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, how did he say I live it? By the faith of the Son of God. Not by a faith or some faith, the singular, the. It was only John the Baptist. That's where we Baptists messed up. Said we're Baptists. I told one time, I said, well, according to the Bible, it says John the Baptist. That means just one. So, I mean, I just wasn't making no lie of it. I was telling the truth. But now listen. The new birth then is not in your body. Because that was one thing that they wanted explained on this line of justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, and kind of explain the what takes place and where it's at. If we had a drawing, we used to have them years ago all over the wall here, you know, trying to show you what things are, but, you know, you're not born again in your body. Now, one day, I found a quote this morning where the prophet was talking about born again in flesh. But you know what he's talking about? The change. When you're changed, you'll be born again in flesh. Because your flesh will be eternal, just like your soul is eternal. But it's not right now. I hope you don't think so. Because if you got a problem, give me a hammer and I'll head to your toe and let's see what you do. I'm making a joke, just telling the truth. All right. But listen. The new birth is not in your body. It's not even in your spirit. That's why Ezekiel 25 or 36, verse 1 or 2 in Ezekiel. He said, I give you a new heart, a new spirit. Right. Now the prophet said, that's not the Holy Spirit. He said, that's giving you a new spirit because you couldn't even live your own self the way you was. Then he said, now I put my spirit in you. He said, there's the new birth. The new birth is not a concept. It's when God comes and lives in you in a reality, which is by revelation. You remember where we gave those? The prophet said you can only be saved by revelation. Well, Brother Dale, I just believe the prophet. I don't know what you're talking about. That's what I'm saying. You don't know what I'm talking about because you don't have the new birth. That's the reason you don't know what I'm talking about. I listen to people of this message talk about a new birth or some kind of a something that took place, and I can't agree with them. You know why? Because that didn't happen to me. Well, who are you? I'm me. Who are you? I can put what I believe in the Bible. Come and let's see. Because I believe that you're not born again in your body, you're not born again in your spirit. I'll quote Brother Lee Vail. I heard him say something one time that I totally agreed with. Maybe not all the rest he says, but I agreed with this point. He said, I believe we do need a baptism of the Holy Ghost on our brain. And I said, amen. I agree with that. But it still wouldn't save us. Because you're not saved in your brain. You're not saved in your body. You're not saved in your spirit. You're only saved in your soul. That's where the trouble is at. That's why Paul would explain, oh, wretched man that I am. Why? I'm having a battle. Why? Because my body is of the earth. My memories, reasoning, conscience, and things is all of the old nature and ways that I was, and you cannot erase those things. And they keep bothering you all the time. True? See, you're born again in your soul. Your soul is what you are. Your nature, your being. Your person is what the word soul means. All right. Now, you take what the prophet said. He said three circles. He said body, spirit, and soul. All right. How else could you explain it? But explain this much. Where does your body end and your spirit start? Well, that's the second rim that's circling around there. He's just trying to explain it. All right. But see, just look at yourself. Now, I'm trying to explain something to the ones that asked the question, Bart, and then we'll get the other this afternoon. I know we ain't going to get to where we're supposed to go, but we'll get it this afternoon. But think about yourself. For one time, quit being so holy and pious and so or such a religious believer to realize you're still a human being. Well, the world don't bother me. No, it's already got you. That's why it don't bother you. You're already tied to it. I'm trying to explain what a soul is. Alright? It's not just a circle it's made. That's an expression. Alright? It's who you really are. That's why you take a baby and you put a baby on the edge of a table. And if it can crawl, it'll fall off. Right? You put a dog on there that don't have a soul, it won't fall off. It'll crawl the edge and look over. You see, it don't have a soul. The soul of that baby hasn't developed into the position that it can control. That's why it's a baby. That's why Paul said it. That we're born again as babes in Christ. Desiring the sincere milk of the word. You don't give a year-old baby a steak and say, here's your knife. Help yourself. No. You feed it baby food. You feed it things it can consume until it's capable of eating stronger things. And that's the way it is in the spiritual babies. Yeah. But as I said a moment ago, you take a born-again Christian that's a baby, and he says, I'm a peacock. Well, amen. He's a baby peacock. You don't expect the 4-foot feathers, do you? And if he says he's got 4-foot feathers, you look at him and said, little peacock, you got a mental block somewhere. Because I can't see your feathers. And that's what we try to do. The prophet said what we need is empty vessels so that we can receive. Full vessels, you know, I mean, you eat a big steak, you eat a big, you know, banana pudding, man, you get all filled up. You don't want nothing to eat. But if you're hungry, you'll keep on wanting until you get something, won't you? Huh? But now listen to what I'm trying to get to. That soul is what you are. That's why when Jesus was here on earth, the prophet said the body was a creation of the Word, Hebrews 10:5, a body thou hast prepared me. He said that spirit was the spirit of Almighty God. That's the way he said it. He said the one that, I'm talking about the message called faith, listen to it. He said the one that in sundry times and divers manners spake to the fathers. That's why Jesus knew all of those things. But he said his soul was the soul of God. Now I've got in trouble trying to explain that. They say, you mean you're saying God's got a soul? No, I didn't say that. I've never taught that way. I've taught one thing for certain. God is a soul. That's what he is. He's a being. He's a person. I've never taught that God had a soul. That's what he is. He's a person. He's a being. All right. Now, that's why he could be before the world. All right. But see, when he was here on earth, he said, my soul is troubled. Why? Because the being of who he was, if you want to call it trapped or placed within a human element. That person that was there in that human element, he was a being. You could look at him, but all you could see was the outside of the body. Now he could tell you about the Old Testament and you'd begin to connect together, or he could tell you about the things of God and begin to connect together that, hey, this man must be some connection to God, because the Nicodemus and them say, you've got to be of God, because no man can do these things that you do. They had to admit it. But they couldn't look through and see God standing there looking back at them. And they couldn't see that that one that was within him looking back at them was the same one that Moses saw the back part of. Because that was his soul, which is his theophany. The person of his being. They couldn't see that. They couldn't see that Moses could see the back part. But remember, he couldn't see the front part because he couldn't see the face of God. That couldn't be done until Jesus walked on the earth. Now you say, well, Melchizedek, that's right, amen, Melchizedek. But Melchizedek was only God using a body. This is God living in a body. That's why I believe in one true and living God. Not all these things they're teaching about River Jordan and stuff like that, that he didn't become God until the River Jordan. Well, see, that's their idea and their belief. Let them go ahead. I don't care. But I'm just saying I don't agree with that. I believe what the prophet said. I like what Brother Burley said there last night about it. And I like what the prophet said, see, about the River Jordan that they don't use. See, it says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. And the prophet said, it didn't say that this is has become my son. This is my son. And he was anointed for ministry. The anointing left him in the garden. Right? But it's promised to come back in the end time upon the bride. And in doing that, that anointing did come back on the day of Pentecost in the baptism of the Holy Ghost to give the new birth. But to be finalized in this dice day. See? What? Not on your body. Sure, we're anointed because it quickens. It makes your body obey. Amen. We believe that. But you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the prophet said, every day of your life on your spirit and die and go to hell. Well, boy, that's a deceiving time. That's right. Because God wants his children to be word-born children. Amen. Not to be flimsy, flamsy little kids that needs to be petted all the time. You look at your pictures. We used to have them on the wall at the house of the kids, and you look at them, and you see a certain age or something. Something stands out. You say, well, boy, wouldn't it be nice if they just stayed there? No. They'd be something deformed if they just stayed there. You know. No, they weren't made to stay there. They was made to grow up. and become on their own. Made to have families of their own. To express themselves. Right? But see, the new birth is in your, it's the birth of the soul. The prophet said, it's you and God together as persons. He said, well, how can that be? Don't ask me, ask him. I believe it. It's the birth of the Word. It's the Word you've heard. I thought we believed that John 1 was talking about a person. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
And the Word was made flesh, verse 14, and made, you know, dwelt among us. I thought we believed He was the Word.
Right.
I thought we believed when the prophet said, when you begin to see the Word, you're seeing Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, what we see of the Word right now is all we'll see of God until we meet Him in the air, because He's not here in a physical, corporal body.
Amen.
But you see, the birth is the birth of the soul. All right, the prophet used it like this. He said, He changed your nature.
Right.
Now the people of the message changed that and said He exchanged your nature.
Right.
It's called exchange. No? He changed it.
Right.
If you're using the word exchange to mean change, amen.
Right.
But if you're saying exchange, taking one out, putting another in, you got a problem. The new birth is the birth of the Word that you took and you held within you. But it's got to be revealed. It's not because you studied it. It's got to be made alive. Something of a reality. Something alive within you. A person. Well, Brother Dale, I never knew that he was a person. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Then maybe you haven't experienced it.
Right.
I would to God, see, church, don't be Baptist. He said, what do you mean, Brother Dale? And I'm not throwing off on them. I'm just saying what we believe is Baptist. Don't believe you got everything just because you believe.
Right.
Seek God until you have a definite answer within yourself. You're not going to make Him mad. But if you're in the Baptist, you'd know they'd say, well, we've got to believe in a Trinity, even though we say one God, but we've got to believe in three, because we don't want to leave the Father out of our salvation. Hey, I come from there. I know the doctrine. But see, that's why that you're born again by revelation. It's a revelation of one true and living God that you're born by. Well, if it's not preached correct, what kind of a birth are you going to have? The prophet said false preachers, false prophets bring false births. True prophets, true preachers bring true births. What are they supposed to preach? Well, you need to get saved. You need to do this. You need to quit that. You need to do that. You need to go to church. You need to do it. I never did read that on the day of Pentecost. Now, I got to go back to the Bible, right?
Right?
So on the day of Pentecost, when Peter got through preaching his message, you know, did they start saying, well, what church do we join? What creed do we say? What doctrine do we believe? No, they was concerned. And they said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Well, you need to go to church over here at Jerusalem and make sure you stay there. You need to go over here. You need to believe this. You need to believe that. No, that wasn't what they said.
Amen.
The hardest thing that anybody could ever comprehend was said to them. What?
Right.
Repent.
Right. Amen.
What do you mean, repent? That's the problem, the reason most people don't get saved. They don't repent.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Lord, now if I've done something wrong, forgive me. I don't think that wasn't my experience of justification. Now I'm just putting it plain to you, and you just do what you want to do with it. The prophet said we'd beat them in the back till they come through with something. That's what he's talking about, and he is in the Baptist church.
I believe in an old-fashioned experience of an honest and a contrite heart coming before God to plead to God to forgive me for what I've done. Most people ain't going to do that. Most people are not going to admit they're wrong. They won't do that. But now listen. The new birth is the birth of the Word. The words you've took and heard. And then that brings the life of the Word. When we get on into the stature of a perfect man a little bit more, we're talking about the nature, see. I only want to know one nature. That's why I read that scripture about what we were reading there and talking about. Born again by incorruptible seed. Well, Brother Dale, always was eternal. Then you don't even fit in the picture, so go right on. Shout your glory, hallelujah. But you'll be in the tribulation for long, so don't worry about it. That's your choice. But when you realize you're born again by incorruptible seed, it's only incorruptible seed that can be made eternal. Unperverted, incorruptible seed, which is what? The Word. That was what Peter said. He's the one to tell us what it means to be born again. He's the one that it was that God chose to write the condition or the thing that we go through to become to the stature of a perfect man. Even Paul was not chosen to write that. Peter was. Peter was chosen to write the Second Peter. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge. When Paul come along, Paul said, I went to the backside of the desert. Now, Paul received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? As what? A baby. Paul didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a full-grown son like Peter and them did. Why? Because the Word hadn't been planted in him. He went to the backside of the desert, and when he came out, he was teaching the same thing Peter and them was teaching. The same identical doctrine of a growth development. Why? Because he was a prophet and God could speak to him. Thank God Brother Branham was a prophet. Wait till we get to that more this afternoon. Had he not been a prophet, he could not have received the growth development from the written Word. Why? Because the plan had been lost. With the going down of the seed in the ages or the dark ages and going down, with going down of that revelation of that Word. Luther never got it like Peter was talking about it. I'm talking about this growth development. Wesley never got it. Knox, Finney, Calvin, whoever you want to bring. They never got it that way. The closest could be with Azusa Street and those Latter Rain Brethren. They come along and said, this is it, this is it. But they didn't realize that the former rain hadn't been sowed yet. So they were what? Now come on. What were they? I ain't saying they wasn't born again. But I'm saying they were peacocks. Baby peacocks. Claiming 4-foot feathers. I don't mean this wrong, but that sure would have tickled mama. I thought that'd strike a note in you. How you going to put all that in one egg? All them rolled up feathers. No. That don't work. Because we're not born that way. We're born babies. But thank God that a prophet could be sent to pick that up out of the Word to tell us. But had he not had the like precious faith that Peter had, he would not have been able to receive the growth development. I'll get to that more this afternoon, so just hold on. But listen. See, the new birth then is not in your body, it's not in your spirit. The new birth is in the person of your being, which is your soul. See, like I said, you draw the circles. That's only examples. You could draw an overlay of a human body like a doctor has. That you peel it back and you can see lungs. You peel it back and you can see heart. You peel it back and you can see intestines. And that don't work either. That's just natural comparisons. Your soul is what you are. That's why Brother Branham saw people beyond the curtain of time that were there in soul, because that's what the angel of the Lord said. These are the souls under the altar. And he saw people. I said, oh, but Brother Branham explained that the soul is the inch compartment, and the 1-inch compartment that's in the heart that ain't in no other animal. I guess your soul is just an inch square. Those are just statements to try to get you to see. I believe that there's an inch square compartment in the human heart that's not in the animal kingdom. I'll agree with that. Science maybe would say that. But the soul is what you really are. What keeps you alive when you go to sleep? You got consciousness, you got subconscious, then you got unconscious. What keeps you alive while you're... What makes your heart keep beating? Why? Because something is controlling you. That's why the prophet, though, would say it. He said, you see me, but you can't see my spirit. But he said, you can see what it makes manifest. Now, he did say that, right? That you can see what's made manifest, and you know what's on the inside by what's made manifest. I like the way Brother Biscoe said it. He said, if you look down in a hole and you see a fox tail, a pretty good sign you got a fox in the hole. You see me out living like the devil and claiming to be a Christian, you got a pretty good sign that there's something wrong with my inner being. No, like I like what Brother Burley said last night about it. He said, you know, you got your buddies and all, and said, these other people goes out and do wrong, so they're lost. They're lost. But said your buddy does it, and he said, oh, he just got problems. You know, you want to make excuses for your buddy. He just got problems. But these others are lost. No. Church, you don't know what the meaning of what I've tried my best to say for, and how long has this been? Over 30 years that I've taught one thing. I would to God that every one of us in this building, if we are not born again, would find out we are not born again. Brother Dale, man, you sure preach funny. Why? Because if we got born again, and you cannot realize that you can't get born again till you first realize you're lost. You don't need salvation. Those Pharisees, they didn't want Jesus around because they didn't think they needed what he had. He was the very essence of life, and they didn't want it. Why? Because they were too religious. Were body and spirit. There was no new birth back there to get in their soul. It couldn't be done. Jesus Christ hadn't died yet. But when he died, he didn't die just... The body died. It died to release what was within it. And the stripes was on it to bring the blood out to bring our healing. That's why your healing is not eternal. Because it's because of the body that took the beating. And the spirit went back to God who gave it. But the soul went to hell for me. He paid my ransom. Like I said, in the natural, when you pay a ransom, most of the time the ransom stays with whoever you pay it to get a child back or whatever. But in this case, this was not just paying a ransom to pay something for me. This was one who went down there and said, devil, I've come to pay the price. I paid it up there. You're done.
Amen. Right.
The devil said, ha, 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 I thought I had you and I got John the Baptist. Now I know I got you. Go to Mighty Conqueror and Countdown where the prophet said that Jesus just reached over and got the keys and jerked him off his side and kicked him over in the pit. And that's the way he described it. He said, begin walking back up. That was the ransom. That's where my soul went to hell in him. The price was paid because he ransomed it out. He didn't leave it. He ransomed it out. But listen. Has God accepted you? Don't lay on, I believe the message. Put it on something real. Put it on a reality within your heart. Peter believed the message, didn't he? Peter was up on the mountain with the Lord Jesus, right? Peter saw Jesus glorified. He saw him crucified. Right? He seen him after his resurrection. But then one day he said, I have a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than what was on the mountain? Right. More sure than seeing Jesus raised? Right. Because over 500 seen him after his resurrection. But only 120 made it to the upper room, so 380 must not have believed too good. But yet they seen him. The Bible says it. Could we be in that crowd that claims the message of the hour? Brother Dale, I thought we needed the seals, we needed the vials, we need all these. That's what I'm preaching. That's what the prophet was preaching, a great message of the future home. He gets on a message of the future home that you and I had no concept whatsoever about a future home. We were talking about going up and living in clouds or doing something, praying hearts. And he explained a message called future home. But he said, if you don't get nothing else, get the plan of redemption. That's what he said. Preaching a great message like the future home. And he says, make sure you get the plan of redemption. And he said, I've taught these three processes from the very beginning. He said, I still believe it now. What? Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thought he said those things come from because of the opening of the seals. Go into any message after the opening of the seals and see if the prophet didn't mention justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'd say you probably won't find one. Right? Because see, that's the main thing he wanted. Seventh seal, when he got down to the seventh seal, he said, go on with the same simple message. He said, because if you don't, you'll work yourself away from it. Being born again. Something is going on in our hearts and lives, and if it ever stops, it is not the new birth. And I don't care whether it's you, me, brother so-and-so, or sister so-and-so, or who it is. If what I have in me won't agree with the Word, there's something wrong with what I got in me. Well, Brother Dale, you don't agree with the way I believe it. Now, that's a different thing. That's a different situation for you to say I don't agree with the way you teach it. But come and let's see if it's what the Bible says. And see if it would come over like Peter said, the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. At the revelation of Jesus Christ. One true and living God. The revelation of reality. You understand what I'm saying? You're not born again in your body. You're not born again in your spirit. That's why we have the troubles. You're born again in your soul. All right. In the soul is the little baby peacock. But let's just get the growth development right. All right. Let's grow to the position that we can have peacock feathers. Because a little baby peacock, I've never seen one, but I'm sure if it's like any other little baby animals, like that little duck or something, it's just a little fluffy stuff. You know, that's little feathers, but it's just little fluffy feathers, you know. But you see, what we need is to keep on eating. What makes a baby peacock grow up to be a big peacock? Because it eats. It keeps on eating. Brother Branham, I'll get to it this evening. He said, I didn't come to build denominations. He said, I come to build individuals into the stature of a perfect man. That's what he come for. That's the hour that we're living. That's the promise of this day. The reality of Christ. The new birth. Then being born again after that new birth comes in. But if it didn't say being born again, see, your growth development couldn't keep on going. So instead of saying, I have been born again, see, that would mean it stops. But see, when he says being born again, whatever you have that starts will not stop. It'll keep going until the peacock feathers come. That comes with the growth development. See? But you first must be born again. Don't lay on it. Please, church, don't lay on, I believe the message. And Brother Verley, we was talking last night about us using that thought in the scripture, you know, where it was saying that the devil believed in one God and trembled. He believed in one God and trembled. We believe the Trinity because he taught it to us. How many Trinitarians are still in the message? So then the devil's a greater believer than they are. Listen, you must be born again. All right, now you're not going to get there one day and say, I've got an excuse now, Lord, because I haven't been told what I need to do. Now that's like my wife says about marriage and divorce. Now the kids around here, they go out and do wrong, they've heard it over and over. What the truth is about it, they go out and do wrong. That's their business. They go at it wrong, that's their choice, and that's their part they'll have to serve and put up with. Because we've tried our best to tell you. So has it been that I've never told you that you in the message and everything's wonderful. I've always taught that you need to get born again. And then let that one that come in you interpret that word as it comes in. Or reveal it to you. I've always believed that and always taught it. Why? Because if you're a new creature, Brother Moat preached that in 1971, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, the beginning of the creation of God. That's God as he becomes into you and becomes a new creature. A growth development takes place. A baby that's born and it doesn't never grow anymore. Something's wrong. Yeah, something's wrong. Because in the natural, you put the food in, it's going to push the baby out. And that's the way it is in Christ. Come on, Brother Dick. Just hold that point. We'll get back this afternoon. Because I had another thought that I was wanting to try to tie in together with it. As the person was asking to speak on the three stages of justification and sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know. And also, you know, that's we'll try to tie that in this afternoon to the services. But listen, this thing is not just, well, I believe. Well, I believe. What do you believe? What do you believe? Well, I believe Brother Brown is a prophet. If you believe Brother Brown is a prophet, you believe what he said. Right. That's simple, isn't it? Then you got people that totally differ about what Brother Branham said and yet claim he was a prophet. Now, how can that be? They'll say it was wrong here, changed here, done this, there, that, you know. Why? Because they're trying to prop up something. I told them brothers over there last night talking about it. I like what Brother Bartley said on the message of the Wednesday. God asks you a question. God's got a plan. Moses, what is that in thy hand? I got a plan to use that. Adam, where art thou? I got a plan. Why Christ speak? I got a plan. I got a plan. God has got a plan for us, church. Let's just walk in it. Come on, let's stand together. 2:30 in the red book. If anybody has a need. Use me, oh God. And oh my God. Search me, Lord. Try me, oh Savior. No. I pray, see if there be some wicked way in me. Search me out, Lord. Cleanse me from everything. And what is sin? To disbelieve God's word. Right? I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Our little buddy's got a cold. Let's just believe it. All things is gone as well. Because that same God that we're talking about, that by His stripes we are healed. And we believe You, Father. Now make manifest to our little buddy to take away this cold and thing that's bothering him. We condemn it under the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank You, Father, for making it manifest. We believe You now in Jesus' name. Go believe and see. Anybody else? Anybody else that just have a need? Thy name, Lord, is that Your desire? And may it be. Fill my poor heart. Thy great love divine, take all. What about you? My passion, self and pride, I now surrender. Will you? Never stop seeking God. If you do, there's something wrong with you. The prophet's statue of a perfect man, he said, I guess Brother and Sister Kidd is the oldest one here. He said, if you ask them, was they searching for God or desiring more of God? Said, they'd say, yes. The more you get, the more you want. The more you get, the more you realize there is more. Your word, Lord. I'll supply. There's the promise. For blessings now, oh Lord. Let's sing that first verse over again and just think about it before we go. Search me, oh God, and know my heart today. Try me, oh Savior. Know I pray. See there be some wicked way in me. Miss me from it. You're dismissed. Just sing that to one another as you leave.